Hallelujah. Would you be able to stand with me this morning to honor the reading of the word taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. Verse 14, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Verse 26, and he called one of his servants and asked, what is this? What these things meant? Verse 27, and he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you. In another translation, it says, these many years I have slaved for you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he was found. And this is the end of my message. And you can sit down. Let us pray. I want to close today. I'm going to pray. Yeah? Shall we pray? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and we pray. Speak, Lord. Your children are crying out to touch your heart this morning. We pray for a supernatural breakthrough, a supernatural anointing, Lord, to break our hearts and shift us to a deeper level of understanding. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't want to stay in the same place. We don't want to dwell in the same mindset. But we want to move to the place, Father, that you desire us to be. A place where we can have an intimate relationship with you, Lord. That we can call you Abba, Father, this morning and touch your heart. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, this morning that you take control of this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. What have you been thinking about this God that you have been worshiping all this while? What is your real understanding of this God? I will tell you who this God is. God is love. God is not judgmental. God does not see your mistakes. God sees you by his grace. There is no bitterness in the Father's heart. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God will never give you anything less than the best. Are you hearing me, church? In this incredible parable, Jesus, your Redeemer, Jesus, your Savior, is showing you the heart of your Heavenly Father. The depth and height, the length and width of your Heavenly Father's heart. The heart of compassion, the heart of mercy, the heart of love, the heart of forgiveness. A lot of God's children, unfortunately, are frustrated and lost today because they are unable to touch the heart of God. The main reason for this setback is a strong religious mindset. A mindset that kicks us into a performance-driven mentality. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Because of a lack of understanding of the generosity of our Heavenly Father, we have unfortunately developed a distorted view of God. A wrong image of God. We think God is a punishing God. We think God is a grudging God. We think God is a God of vengeance. Therefore, we come to a conclusion that God is not easily approachable. This misunderstanding has apparently drifted us away from God. This indeed is a very sad thing. And therefore it has resulted in a lack of an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. You're made to believe you don't have a right standing before God. You're made to believe you are not worthy to stand before God. The religious mindset says you need to prove yourself worthy before God. The religious mindset says you need to prove yourself worthy to be accepted before God. In other words, you need to earn your blessings. You need to earn your forgiveness. You need to prove yourself to be approved by God. Are you following me so far? Hallelujah. Listen to me this morning. When your real identity is compromised because of your ignorance, when you don't understand who you are in Christ, you allow the devil to set the agenda for you. And what's happening is that the devil has taken advantage of your ignorance and has literally taken us for a long ride. And he has sown seeds of deception, seeds of doubt, seeds of wrong impression of our Heavenly Father. As a result of this distorted belief system, we suffer from a poor self-esteem. And we are made to feel condemned and guilty that we are not worthy to come under God's grace. We are not worthy to come under God's blessing. We are not worthy to come under God's generosity. How many of you know that our God is a rich God? Our God is a generous God. You need to tap into that. Paul is writing to the Romans under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He's summing up Romans chapter 8. He's saying, if you don't allow the cry of your heart to be Abba Father, which I'm afraid most of God's children do not know and do not understand, you must not talk there. When I'm speaking, when I'm on the pulpit, I don't want anybody to talk there. Okay? There is an anointing flowing here. You must tap into that anointing. Otherwise, you're not going to receive anything. When you don't allow the cry of your heart to be Abba Father, which I am afraid most of God's children do not know and do not understand, then you will go back under the bondage of fear. Listen closely. The law produces fear. What is the law? Trying to earn God's favor, trying to prove to God that you deserve to be blessed, trying to beg God for forgiveness all the time. What a tragedy. You know what's the problem with us? When we try to bring God down to our level of thinking, we self-impose limitation upon ourselves. We make God look so small. We make God look so stingy. You're not designed to live below your means. Apparently, most of God's children are begging God for small things in life. Begging God for mere necessities, for God to bless them. Listen to me. You got to move out of this limited mentality, this survival mood, this poverty mentality. Let me tell you something this morning. You don't attract the attention of God when you ask for small things. Are you listening to me? Because my God is a big God. My God is a generous God. My God will never give you anything less than the best. Amen. Hallelujah. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. It says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord." Psalms 50, it says, "The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me." Can you see how rich our Father is? Because we have a small and limited mind, that's the reason why we get manipulated by the enemy. And we end up doing silly things sometimes. Are you with me, church? Hallelujah. How many of you know about Alexander the Great? 323 BC. Alexander the Great. I don't think you study about Alexander the Great. The military genius. At the age of 30, he conquered the entire ancient world. He went conquering territories as far as India. On one of his rounds, he came across a beggar begging for copper coins. You know, it was the culture of those days, and you see beggars standing around and begging, and they say, if you go to London, to the underground, you can see this culture still there. They will say, "Do you have a couple of shillings, sir? Do you have a couple of coins to spare, sir?" They will say. Alexander the Great saw this beggar begging for copper coins, and he put his hands into his pocket and he took out some gold coins and gave it to the beggar. And as he was moving out of the place, one of Alexander's servants came running after him. He said, "Master, master." He said, "Why did you give the beggar copper coins? Why did you give the beggar gold coins while copper coins could have been enough for the beggar?" I want to quote to you what Alexander the Great said. He said, exactly what he said was, he said, "Copper coins would only meet the beggar's needs, but gold coins suits Alexander's giving." Some of you may ask me, "Why, Pastor, why are you talking Alexander the Great?" He said, because Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "Your heavenly Father will give you over and above from the riches of his glory." You see, God could give you copper coins, but copper coins would only meet your bare necessities. But God will give you over and above because of his richness in glory. Hallelujah, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Coming back to the parable is actually talking about a rich man who had two sons, and you have, you have already understood. I know many of you know this parable very well, but I'm going to bring out something out of this parable that's going to blow your mind out, okay? The younger son demanded his share of his inheritance. The culture of those days was, it was against Jewish tradition when the father was still alive. You're not supposed to ask for the share of your property. It was absolutely unbecoming of a Jewish boy to demand for his share of property. But nevertheless, although it was contrary to the culture and tradition of the day and very hurting to the father, very disgraceful, the father gives him the share of what he demanded. Who is this? Who is this? You notice the son is only interested in himself. He wanted his share of the property. He said, give me, give me. He was not interested in anything else. He had no regard or respect for his father who was still alive. No regard for the respect for the culture and tradition. The Bible says the father was a wealthy man. He had many servants. I believe he must have also held a very high position in the community. A normal Jewish father would have thrown this son out of his house. You see, he had all the resources, he had all the power to do so, yet he did not react in this manner. He gave him what he asked. Listen to me. This is Jesus showing you the heart of your Heavenly Father. The Bible says the son went to a far away country, spent his money in wild living. The text says he squandered his property in reckless living. There arose a severe famine in the land, and he became desperate for food because no one gave him any decent food. There was a famine in the land. He had to survive, so he got himself registered as one of the servants of the country where he was, and he couldn't find any job except to feed pigs in the farm. Jewish people don't eat pigs. For them, it is unclean. For them, it is a curse to even go near the pigs. But God has brought this boy down so low that he had to not only take care of the pigs, but he also had to eat the pigs' food. It was a curse, obviously. Can you see how low God had to bring this rich boy in order for him to open his eyes, for him to realize the goodness of God and to bring him to a stage of repentance? Hallelujah. How many of you would agree with me? When we abuse the goodness of God, when we abuse the blessing of God, God will give you several chances to change. Do you believe that? Although he would let you go the way you want, of course he will let you do whatever you want initially, because that's your choice, okay? But never forget, there is always a timeline. There is always a season. There is always a self-life for all the nonsense you're doing. The boy wanted to be detached from the father. You see, the moment you are detached from the father, you lose your covering. You know that? The moment you backslide, the moment you move out, your covering is no more. Sin will find you. Hallelujah. Remember, sin has a price to pay. Sin has a consequence to face. Then one day, God changes your circumstances. He will strip you of everything, bring you down to such a low level, and leave you in the curb to humble yourself, to enable you to see God's goodness, enable you to see His mercy, His love, and His grace. You should never forget, as children of God, God will discipline you. God will chastise you. Not because He wants to punish you. Because He loves you. Hallelujah. Listen, you know what? When you are flying high, when you are loaded with money, when you think money makes the world go wrong, how many of you think that money makes the world go wrong? Let me see your hands. A lot of us just got no time for God. Right? Am I right? We always give the leftovers to Him. We always give the leftover money to Him, the leftover time to Him. All what you do is lean on your own understanding. Lean on your own clever idea. Okay? And your own intelligence. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Right? Am I talking to somebody today? The slides are not coming out. Nevertheless, I wish to tell you this morning. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I wish to tell you this morning, even when you have all the money, even when you can provide for yourself, you need the help of God to navigate in this difficult life that God has given you in this world. You need the grace of God. In your going out and your coming in, you need the grace of God. Anything can happen to you. Life is so uncertain. Things can happen. That is why we need the grace of God every moment of our lives. Please understand, money is not everything. Life is beyond money. Money can buy you a bed, but it cannot buy you sleep. How many of you know that? You can buy the best bed in town, but you can't buy sleep. Money can buy you a nice house, but it can't buy you a home. Money can buy you a flight ticket, but it can't secure the safety of your life. Right? Money can enable you to put your child in the best school, but money can't help your child to learn, right? That's what money is. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? Now, what's happening to this boy here? He began to recall all the luxury in his father's house. Suddenly repentance is taking place, and he's recalling all the things that are happening in his father's house, the comfort, the hired servants having enough food to eat, food overflowing in the father's house, many servants. They have a better, honorable life. And here he says, I'm humiliated, I'm disgraced, I am cursed. wasting away in such a deplorable and horrible condition. And he said, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to tell him, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son anymore. Hire me as your servant. He said, so he takes action. He walks all the way. This boy is filthy. This boy is dirty. This boy is in a garbage. So he takes a long walk to his father's house. A lot of us make decisions, but we don't apply decisions. We keep staring at the decision and never act on it. But this boy, he made a decision and he took action. His perspective started changing. He's walking all the way back in a miserable and dirty condition. God has brought this boy so low down, literally. Let's see how the father reacts. Okay? I would still say this story is about our Heavenly Father's heart. I don't know how many years you have been listening to this parable being taught to you, but you bet this is not an earthly father's heart. Look at verse 20. The father was looking out for his son. He saw him and he felt compassion. He saw him and he had compassion. David, you don't have the things I sent to you? David, are you there? Verse 20. The father was looking out for his son. He saw him and he felt compassion. He saw him, he had compassion. The father runs to the son. Tradition says Jewish rich people don't run. You know that? I did a study. Jewish rich people walk elegantly. Either they walk elegantly, they don't run, you know. It's against norm to run. Either they are carried by people or they rode on an animal like a camel or horse. You see, but this father, he breaks every rule, every custom. He breaks every protocol. He sees the son and he felt compassion. He runs to the son. He breaks every rule and runs to the son. This son is saying, I sin against heaven and against you. The father was not interested in what the son was saying. Hey, this boy is filthy, he's dirty, he's smelly, he's smelling of pig. No sandals. A rich boy who's coming in this condition. The father hugs him. The father kisses him. Will an earthly father react in this manner? This is what I want to ask you. By the way, how will an earthly father react? Ramesh, you tell me. How will an earthly father will start speaking in tongues? All kinds of tongues will be coming out. Four-letter tongues also will come out. Okay? All kinds. He'll be watching. Earthly father won't be running. He'll be waiting near the gate. He'll be watching the son coming. Let me see what this guy has done and whether he has changed or not. What is his behavior? And the moment he comes back, we're giving him a nice shelling. Look at your condition. I told you, you don't listen to me. And some rich Jewish fellows, you know, they will even give them nice shelling, nice beating, you know. But you know, your Heavenly Father refuses to question His Son for His mistakes. Hallelujah. Your Heavenly Father refuses to hear any reason for your mistakes. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is your Heavenly Father's heart. When one person repents and turns back to Him, God will never look back on your past. When you realize your mistakes and turn to Him, mercy and compassion will chase after you. Mercy will triumph over judgment. That is the heart of our Heavenly Father. I should be preaching this next week, Father's Day, okay? Watch this. Look at what the Son wanted. Look at what the Son wanted. Listen very carefully. He only wanted to be employed as a servant of the Father. Verse 21. He said, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just treat me as one of your hired servants. The Father cuts him off. He refuses to hear what he was saying. He was not interested in what he was saying. This is your Heavenly Father's heart. The Father did not want the Son to be a servant. You know why? You know why He doesn't want? I will tell you why. Because servants have to earn the Master's love. Are you listening? Servants have to prove to their master that they deserve to be blessed. Servants have to earn their reward. It is a reward seeking approval. It is a reward seeking love. I don't know to whom the Holy Spirit is speaking this morning, is addressing this morning. But I'm telling you this morning, no matter how deep you have fallen, no matter how deep you have, no matter how low you have fallen, God will never allow you to be a servant. He will make you sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Puramakarashikiya. You know why? You know why? Isaiah 53 verse 6. Isaiah 50. All His wrath was poured upon Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. After what He bore for us, there is no way God will make you. The law condemns. Grace forgives. I want to remind you this son, the condition of his son. He has fallen spiritually, morally. He's smelly. He's dirty. He has finished all the property of, half the property of his father. And yet the Father runs to him. Yet the Father kisses him. And the Father hugs him. And yet the Father loves him. In fact, the Son should be falling on the Father's feet. Am I right? The Son should be kissing the Father. The Father calls His servants immediately. He said, bring in the best robe and cover my son with the best robe. Bring in the signet ring and put it on my son. Bring in the best sandals that belong to my class of people. You know what is the class of people? This rich man, this rich Jewish man used the best leather shoes, the leather sandals. He must have put the best leather sandals. And he said, bring in the fatted calf. Let us kill it. Let us celebrate. Let us dance. Let us rejoice. This, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You are made righteous You are given authority, you are restored back as his daughter, as his son. The son is restored back to his original position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen. After what Christ has finished on Calvary's cross, God will never allow you to earn his goodness. Listen to me this morning. God will never allow you to earn his blessings. God will never allow you to earn his favor. God will never allow you to earn his peace and joy. He will never allow you to do so, because you will be devaluing the cross of Calvary. You will be devaluing the blood of Jesus that was shed for you on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. You know what? I want to tell you this morning, the biggest mountain that you need to kick out of your life and uproot it is the mountain of self-righteousness, self-performance, self-effort, trying to prove yourself worthy before God, trying to say you deserve to be blessed because of your own righteousness. You know what? Now, let's see what is happening next. The elder brother is working in the field and is coming back. And he hears music and dancing. And he calls one of his servants and asks him what is happening. And the servant says, your brother has come back. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And the brother becomes angry. Hallelujah. Can you hear it? The elder brother becomes angry. He was angry despite the father coming down and inviting him to come in and join the celebration. The father is saying, this, your brother, is dead, was dead, and he's alive. He was lost and found again. He refused to enter the house and join in to celebrate. He was angry. Let me ask you seriously. Who should have been angry in this parable? The only person who was angry in this parable was the older self-righteous son. Did you notice that? The self-righteous always gets angry with the beloved because of a strong judgmental spirit. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this is the church by and large, because many self-righteous people are sitting inside the church with unforgiving, judgmental spirit. The problem is we don't see our Father's goodness. We see our performance. We don't see mercy and grace flowing from Calvary. We see judgment and condemnation based on human performance. The father in this parable was totally rejected, totally disgraced, totally hurt. He was never angry. There is no bitterness in the father's heart. Who is this? This is Jesus showing you your heavenly father's heart. Look at verse 29. Look at what the elder brother is saying to the father. He said, I slaved for you all these years in obedience to you. You did not even give me a goat to celebrate with my friends. Look at this verse. Watch this. Here is a mind-blowing revelation. Can I ask you this morning, why was the eldest son trying to slave for the father? Why was the eldest son trying to slave for the father? To prove himself, to earn his right standing before the father. The father was a rich man. He had many servants. Food was overflowing in his house. Why was he slogging in the field for the father? Verse 29, he said, I slaved for you for many years in obedience to you. You didn't even give me a goat. Can you see how low his mentality is? He was a son, not a slave. This is what I call low self-esteem. This is what I call being manipulated by the enemy to degrade your identity in Christ and make you think so lowly of yourself. He had every right to take and enjoy whatever he wanted as a son in his father's house. Instead, he is begging his father, begging God. Everything in his father's house was his to take and enjoy. Why should he beg? You know why? He was in the house and yet was not able to touch the father's heart. He was in the house and yet he lacked an intimate relationship with the father. What a tragedy. Similarly, I want to tell you this morning, unfortunately, many of us are in the house of God, but sadly do not understand the Father's heart. This indeed is a very sad thing. Watch. Look. Watch this. He self-imposed limitations upon him. The older son, he did not ask for a fatted calf. He asked for a goat instead. He thinks the father is stingy. You know why? He's living under the law. Living under bondage. In the Jewish culture, fatted calf is the choice animal. For very special occasion, you know, you will have, it is higher than a goat. Listen to me, when you beg God, you impose self-limitations on you. You will have a poverty mentality like the elder brother. Look, the father was a wealthy man. He had many servants. That's exactly what will happen when you live under the law. He said, what the father is saying is, what's your problem, son? That's what the father is saying. You are always with me, son. All that I have is yours. You know what's that? That is grace. That is your real identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are always blessed. Walk in your blessing. Keep enjoying your blessing that belongs to you. Thanking God every moment, all the time. The older brother missed the whole point. He did not know how to enjoy this relationship with the father. He did not know how to enjoy his rights, his influence, his goodness of the father. He was ignorant of his inheritance. He was ignorant of what belonged to him. Instead, he was begging. He was trying to earn what was already his. He couldn't see the point. He was trying to perform. He was trying to prove himself worthy. You see, he missed the whole point. There are a lot of believing Christians today who have missed the whole point of who they are in Christ and what Christ has already accomplished for them on the cross. You know what's the problem with us? We don't understand the goodness of God in the finished work of Calvary. We want Jesus to go back and die over and over again because we think it's too good to be true. And so we start earning by performing, trying to act righteously. Thus, by doing so, we disrespect and devalue the finished work of the cross. Are you hearing me, church? You know what? No matter how hard you try, you can never add anything more to the cross. Do you understand? You're wasting your time. When Jesus went to the cross, it was one complete, perfect sacrifice. He said, "It is finished." Let me tell you something that is going to blow your mind off this morning. Are you ready to receive it? Are you ready to receive it? I'm going to tell you something that is going to blow your mind off this morning. How many of you are ready to receive it? Put your hands up. Your Heavenly Father, listen to me, forgives you even before you can say sorry to Him. I know some of you are struggling to digest what I'm saying to you. Unless you move out of this religious mindset, you will remain where you are. You will never be able to tap into the richness of God's generosity. Will you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. In conclusion, what is God really telling us from this parable? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. And I want to tell you this morning, He forgives you before you can even say sorry. After what Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. Can I say something to you this morning? The world is crying out for the Father's love. The world is crying out for Father's affection and embrace. And they are not getting it. A lot of people are finding love in the wrong places because of a lack of the Father's intimacy that is lacking among the believers. But what God expects from you today, what God wants from you today is not knowing Him religiously. God wants you to know Him intimately, that you can touch His heart, you can run to Him, that He can run to you and hug you and teach you despite what you have done, despite how dirty you are, how smelly you are, despite how low you are. You know what? I was reading an article and scientific research have discovered that compassion, that when the Father saw the Son, He had compassion and broke every rule, every protocol, every custom, every, you know, thing. And he ran to him. The research, scientific research, has proven that compassion is one of the deepest and most powerful emotions a man can experience in his life. And the world is crying for this compassion. The world is crying for this love, this embrace, and this hug from the Father. And they are not able to find it because we have too many elder brothers who are trying to be judgmental over them. Hallelujah. The Father said, "You are always with me. All that I have is yours." Why can't God heal you this morning? Why can't God open your heart, your mindset, your religious way of thinking, and bring you and raise you up to a different level of being able to touch the heart of God and be able to call Him Abba Father? Hallelujah. Let me remind you, no matter how no matter who you are, no matter how far you have wandered away from Him, God is looking out for you every day. He's praying for you every day. He's looking out for you. He wants you to come home. He wants you to come home. And the moment He sees you, He will run to you. He will hug you. He will kiss you. He will love you. He will put the best robe on you. He will put a signet ring on you. He will put the best leather sandals on you. He will bring the fatted calf, slaughter it, and there will be dancing and rejoicing and music in the house. Hallelujah. How many of you belong to God? Hallelujah. 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 Okay, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to release an anointing upon your people, O God. Father, I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even as the Holy Spirit has touched many people here, Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your anointing will break the yoke and draw people, O God, to your intimacy, O God, that we may be children who will know you intimately, Lord, who will be able to tap into your generosity. Tap into your love, Father. Tap into your forgiveness. To know how to live this life in you, Father. A life not with guilt, shame, contamination, but to live a life with joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jai.